got into the conversation about V'sein tal umato levracha, and we discussed the discrepancy that we find between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, they begin to say V'sein tal umato on Zayin Cheshvan, which is 2 weeks after the culmination of Chag HaSukkos, but in America, as we know, and in Chutz La'aretz, we only begin to say it 60 days after the Tkufa, which is on, in our calculation, it's December 4th, December 5th, in a leap year. And that is one thing that is different between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. And that is something that we mentioned last week is very unusual, and it's hard to really understand why it is that we find this discrepancy. Why is it that we start on December 4th, December 5th, when it seems here in America, at least, that this is an arbitrary date? This is not the time of the rainy season. It seems to rain all year long. And that was the question that was posed to Rav Moshe Feinstein. That was the question that the Rush raised as well, living in Germany. The Rush was wondering, why is it that we have this arbitrary date if it really does not correspond at all to the reality of the seasons that we in Chutz La'aretz and many of our communities experience? So be that as it may, that's what we spoke about last week. What we're going to continue about this week is the major shaila, and that is for those who are visiting Eretz Yisrael in the coming weeks, either Thanksgiving for those who are going, or there are many who visit. So we know that in Eretz Yisrael they have already started to ask V'sein tal umato levracha. But here in America, we have not yet begun to ask for V'sein tal umato levracha in Baruch Aleinu. And the question is, what does one do who's visiting Eretz Yisrael while you're there? What do you do when you come back? How should one be nohig? What should a person do in order to make sure that they say the proper Shmona Esrei? One thing that is interesting is, in Parshas Bereishis, we're told, V'chalsiyah chasada terem yiyeh ba'aretz, there was no vegetation on the land, ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't yet sent any rain, and therefore there was no vegetation that was growing. V'adam ayin lavot esa adama, and there was no man alive who was able to work the land and make the plants, facilitate the growth of the plants. Says Rashi, ma tam lo himtir, why is it, what is the connection to all these different fragments of the pasuk? Says Rashi, ma tam lo himtir, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not send the rain? Lefi, because she'adam ayin lavot esa adama. Since there was no farmer who was available to work the land and to facilitate its growth, therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam did not send any rain. Ve'ein makir b'tovasan shel hagishamim. There was no one to appreciate the gift of the rain. U'kishaba Adam, now that Adam was created, v'yada she'ein l'tzorach ha'olam. Now Adam fully understood that rain is something that's very necessary for our survival in this world. Hispalel aleihem v'yardu. Now the rain came down because Adam Arishon now was mispalel, and that's what started all the rain coming down into the world, which is a fascinating insight. It means that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself felt the rain should come, and he felt that really the plants should grow. But because there was no human being to appreciate the gift, there was no human being around to ask for the gift, the Ribbono Shel Olam held back what he thought was something that should have been done. A very interesting insight and something to think about. So tefillah is certainly a very important component, not only to every aspect of our lives, but certainly to the aspect of rain, as we find in the very first parsha in the Torah. As we said last week, we make two different mentions in Shmona Esrei of the need for rain. One is when we talk about Mashiv Aruach, that is in the first section of the Shmona Esrei, and then later on we say V'sein tal umato levracha. Major differences between Mashiv HaRuach and V'sein tal umato. Number one is Mashiv HaRuach, we begin on Shmini Atzeres, on Simchas Torah, and V'sein tal umato, we wait much longer, either till Zayin Cheshvan, or in America, we wait much longer than that. The second difference that we find is something that is very unusual. V'sein tal umato, we're going to begin saying it by which tefillah in the day on December 4th, December 5th? We start saying it by Ma'ariv, right? It says in the Chumash, by Ma'ariv, you start in the Siddur, it says, you start saying V'sein tal umato levracha at Ma'ariv on December 4th or December 5th. When it comes to Mashiv HaRuach, what do we say? When do we start it? By Musaf. So why that discrepancy? What's that all about? So that's a very important question. So let's begin with Mashiv HaRuach. Why Mashiv HaRuach do we begin on Musaf time? Why don't we start by Ma'ariv? That's when the Jewish calendaric date begins. If this is the season for the rain, and this is when it's appropriate to say Mashiv HaRuach, wouldn't it make sense that we already begin from the evening? The Yerushalmi asked this question. The Magen Avraham quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Magen Avraham says in the name of the Yerushalmi, the reason why is as follows. Because we want to make sure that everybody is going to begin saying Mashiv HaRuach at the same time. And therefore, he says, since nobody comes to shul on Leil Yom Tov, since we have a much bigger crowd who shows up for Musaf, I always wonder, here in the shul, right, you come Friday night, somehow there's room for everybody. Shabbos day, we have 12 minyanim. Where's everybody Friday night? I don't know. Some people go to house minyanim. I assume not everybody goes to house minyanim. So this is an old minhag, not to go to shul on Friday night. So the Yerushalmi says, back in the days, they also didn't go to shul on Friday night. Everybody daven wherever they daven. And therefore the Yerushalmi says, since we want everybody to start saying Masha Baruch at the same time, we're going to wait to begin Masha Baruch until Musaf time. Shachris, people come late, people are until they get around to it. Musaf, everybody's in shul. And therefore the Yerushalmi says, that's when we're going to begin to say Masha Baruch. This way we won't have agudos, agudos. We won't have some of the Jewish community saying it, some of it not saying it. They weren't in shul last night, they don't remember, they didn't know, they didn't hear the announcement. We're going to wait to have one uniform sock for everybody, one uniform transition, and everybody's going to start saying it when they're all in shul by Tfilas Musaf. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Now, if that's the case, wouldn't it make sense that we do the same thing by Talu Matar? We should say Talu Matar also during Shachris, during something. Why do we say it at night? What's that all about? So that is the question of the Magen Avraham, and a number of suggestions are given by the Acharonim. Number one, the Magen Avraham says, there's a difference, because he says, by Masha Baruach, wherever you are in the world, whether you live in America, whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere in Chutz Laaretz, everywhere, is going to begin saying Masha Baruach at the same time. And therefore, the Yerushalmi says, we don't want to have agudos, agudos. We don't want to have some communities saying it now, some communities saying it later. Therefore, we're going to have one uniform time when everyone's going to transition together, which is Tfilas Musaf. However, says the Magen Avraham, when it comes to Talu Matar, we already have a discrepancy. Eretz Yisrael has been saying it since Zayin Cheshvan. America is going to start saying it much later on. And therefore, he says, once we have the discrepancy already, what do you care? So somebody missed Ma'ariv on December 4th at night, and they didn't hear the announcement? Okay, so they missed Ma'ariv, and they forgot to say Talu Matar. So we're going to have different parts of the community doing different things. It doesn't bother us as much. That's what the Magen Avraham says. And this is a very problematic answer. Some Achronim say, the Karban Asanel is one of the Achronim who quotes this Magen Avraham as a problem. He says, Ein lahem shachar amud alav. He says, I don't know what the Magen Avraham is talking about. How can you say such a thing? What are you going to tell me? We don't care if some people say Talu Matar and some people don't. If you have to say Talu Matar and you don't say it, it means you're not Yotze Shmona Esrei. So what does he mean? Because you have some people in Eretz Yisrael saying Talu Matar and the people in America haven't yet started, therefore we're already fragmented, we're already splintering away, and everybody can do whatever they want? That's not an answer. And in fact, one of the other Achronim, the Cheshek Shlomo, writes, this is Dachuk Lahamayayin. If you think about it carefully enough, you'll realize that this answer really is not sufficient. It really doesn't answer the question. Question is a very strong one. Why is it that by Masha Baruch we wait to say it until Tfilas HaMusafin, that's when everybody's going to be in shul and we want everyone to have one uniform transition together, whereas by B'Sein Talu Matar, we're just going to start saying it by Ma'ariv, why don't we take that into consideration? So the Karban Asanel gives his own interpretation, and he says the answer is as follows. On Masha Baruach, which we say on Yom Tov, he says people are off from work, and therefore they're more available to come to shul. So writes the Karban Asanel, it makes sense for you to wait till Musaf when most people are going to be in shul. However, he says on December 4th, just an arbitrary day of work, what's to make you think that more people are going to show up to Shachris than the amount of people that show up to Ma'ariv? He says everybody's busy, everybody's driving the carpools, everybody's going out to work, everybody has to catch a train, everybody's going to a business meeting. Nobody has time to come to shul. Maybe they daven, but he says nobody has time to come to shul. So the same amount of people that will be there by Ma'ariv will also be there by Shachris. You won't gain anything if you wait till the next morning by December 4th, December 5th, because it is not a Yom Tov. That is the answer that he gives. Something to consider, just a very practical answer that he gives. But my father writes in the name of Rav Soloveitchik something that is perhaps a more fundamental answer to this question. And that is, why is it, again, the question that we're trying to figure out is, why is it that we start Masha Baruach at Musaf, and we begin V'Sein Talu Matar at Ma'ariv? So the answer there of Soloveitchik said is as follows. There's one major difference between Masha Baruach and V'Sein Talu Matar. V'Sein Talu Matar is She'ela. That means it's just one of the bakashas. It's one of the requests that we make in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So the same way when I have somebody who unfortunately is sick in the community, I say Rifa'enu and I add an extra paragraph. And the same way if I know somebody who needs a parnasa, I'll say Baruch Aleinu and I'll add some extra line for them. So too, during this year, you say during this time of the year, I feel that we need rain, so I say V'Sein Talu Matar Devracha. When it comes to Masha Baruach, that's not a bakasha, that's not a request. What you're doing is, you're engaged in Ti'urei Hashem. That means, you are describing what in your perspective is God right now. God to me right now looks as the Mashiv HaRuach HaMored HaGashem. At this time of year, my perspective of him is that he is somebody who provides the world with rain. During the summer months, my perspective of God is that he's the one who's the Mored HaTol, but I don't see the rain in the summer months. And therefore, we change the bracha not because we're asking for something, but rather because we are describing our feeling of the Ribono Shel Olam. So Rav Soloveitchik said, imagine a person, whenever they want, is just going to get up and decide, you know, my perspective of God is different today. And I decided that today in my Shemona Esrei, I'm going to say, God to me seems like he's very angry today. And God to me seems like he's very sad today. And God to me seems like he's very annoying today. Chalila. But if a person would get up in Shemona Esrei every day and just decide, you know, to me, this is the perspective that I have, and I think I'm going to relate to him in that way, and that's what I'm going to say, says Rav Soloveitchik, isn't that apikursus? What right do you have to start changing what perspective we have of God? If a tzibur altogether decides, right now at this time of year, we all feel that our perspective of God together is that he is now the Mashiv HaRuach, we have a right as a community to change the text of the bracha and say, now we look at you differently than we looked at you in the previous months. And therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, in order to change the nusach of the Ti'urei Hashem, of the description of God, you need to have the tzibur doing that collaboratively. You need to have all of them doing it as a communal decision, that this is what we all feel is the appropriate way to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he says, we need to make sure that we wait for the Hachraza, we need to make sure that we wait for the entire community to come together, for the Chazan to get up and say, on behalf of all of those present, I now declare that the God that we always thought was the Mored HaTol is now the God that is the Mashiv HaRuach, and that's when it changes. So take for example, if on Shmini Atzeres you have somebody who's sick, and Davin's at home, and they're not able to make it to Shul to hear the Chazan say the Tefillah of Geshem, right, which starts off, which kicks off the Mashiv HaRuach. It says in the Achronim that in such a case, you do not begin Mashiv HaRuach until Mincha time. Why is that? Because you need the Tzibur to be Koveya, that now is the time that we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Mashiv HaRuach. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik said, that's why the Yerushalmi says, by Mashiv HaRuach, you wait specifically until Musaf. But by the same Talmud Matar, what's going to be the problem? The same way I have a right to add in any other request in the middle of Shemona Esrei, I have a right to add in the same Talmud Matar Lebracha as well. And therefore, since I have a right to do that, there should be no reason why I have to wait until most people are here. Even if we don't make an announcement, every Jew always has a right to make such a request, and therefore he said, there would be no reason to wait until the daytime when more people might be in shul. You may as well start saying it at night when the season actually begins for the rain to be coming down, when it is most appropriate for us. I think it's a very fundamental answer. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out something amazing that has to do with this as well, and that is the Gemara in Yuma Daf Samach Tes. This Gemara is a startling Gemara, where we're told, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lama Nikra Shman Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Why were these great leaders of the Jewish people referred to as the Anshei Knesset HaGadola? Says the Gemara, Shehechziru Atara LeYoshna. The reason why they were called the great leaders of the Jewish people is because they brought back the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to where it was always supposed to be. What is that a reference to? What are they talking about? Says the Gemara. Asa Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem, he says, Hakel HaGadol HaGibar V'Hanora. Moshe refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hakel HaGadol HaGibar V'Hanora, which is amazing. The words that we say in our Shemona Esrei are Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Hakel HaGadol HaGibar V'Hanora. Also Yirmiyah is living at a time of Churban, and he says, Nachrim Mekarkarim Behechalo. You have non-Jews that are going around and wreaking havoc in the Beis HaMikdash. They're destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Ayei Noraosa. We're going to refer to God as HaGibar V'Hanora. What do you mean? You're the mighty and powerful God, and you allow? How can this be? That's not a powerful God. So the Gemara says, he stopped saying Hanora. That's it. He took it out of the Shemona Esrei. Asa Daniel. Daniel comes along and he says, Nachrim Mishtabdim Ibanav. We're living at a time when the non-Jews, when our oppressors are making us serve them and are making our lives so miserable. Ayeg Vurosav. This is HaGibar. This is the God that is powerful. This is the Almighty. How can it be? If you're so powerful, if you're so strong, how do you allow our oppressors to come and destroy our lives? Ayeg Vurosav. And therefore he says, take that out. Asa Inu V'amru. All of a sudden come along the Anshei Knesset HaGadola after each of the Nevi'im is getting rid of one of these terms, HaGibar V'Hanora. The Anshei Knesset HaGadola come along and say, no, you got it all wrong. That is the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That shows his strength. The fact that he makes room in the world for people to have a choice of how to lead their lives, that people can make through their own Bechira Chafshis, through their own free will, they can make poor decisions in life, and they can make positive decisions in life, and even though sometimes God is upset about it, he allows it to happen anyway. That is the Gvura, that God keeps quiet, even though he's not happy about it. That is the greatest sense of his Gvura. And therefore the Anshei Knesset Gedolah said, let us revert back to the original text of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Haneru. Now, said Rav Soloveitchik, what you see from that Gemara is that the way that we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our tefillah is we always have to talk about him in the way that we perceive him. Why did Yirmiyah HaNavi come along and take something out of the text? Why did Daniel come along and feel it was necessary to take something out? He said, because the Jews in my generation are not feeling that God is a Gibor. We are not feeling that God is a Nora. And therefore, we cannot refer to him in a way that we don't perceive him. So Rav Soloveitchik said, what you see from that Gemara is that a bracha always has to be said based on the perception of the way we see God today. And that's really what it's all about. During the summer months, we perceive God as being the Morid HaTol. During the winter months, we perceive him as being the one who is the Mashiv HaRuach, the Morid HaGeshem. And that's why we change the Tiuri HaShem. Our description of what he is to us changes throughout the seasons of the year. The same Gemara we find in Pesachim Daf Nun, and the Gemara Brachos has it as well, where the Gemara tells us, Abusuras Tovas Omar Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, says the Gemara, when you have something good that happens, you make a bracha, HaTov HaMeitiv. Abusuras Ros, it says when something negative happens, Omer Baruch Dain HaEmes Liolam Abba Kulo HaTov HaMeitiv, says the Gemara, when we're going to have Mashiach, when we're going to have Olam Abba, then everything in the world is going to be great. But until that point, we have different kinds of experiences. Sometimes we make a Dain HaEmes, and sometimes we make a HaTov HaMeitiv. Now, Astor of Soloveitchik, I don't understand. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rabbi Yonah that with the same simcha that you say HaTov HaMeitiv is the confidence you should have when you say Dain HaEmes. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this because it's the right thing to do. He's the Dain HaEmes, and I should accept it, and I should be happy about it, and that's that. Astor of Soloveitchik, if that's the perspective I'm supposed to have, why don't I say HaTov HaMeitiv when somebody dies? You lose your grandparent, you lose somebody you were close with, you should say, God, I believe that this was the best thing for me, and therefore, HaTov HaMeitiv, thank you very much for doing that. Why does the Gemara say you say a Dain HaEmes? You should recite the same bracha. The answer is, said Rav Soloveitchik, because when a bracha is recited, you have to say it based on what your perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So although it's true that I'm supposed to accept his judgment, but right now I don't see everything as being HaTov HaMeitiv. I don't feel that way. So I have to address HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying something, but I say that right now, in my perspective, it seems that you are a Dayan HaEmes. I accept your judgment. I accept that you did it fairly, and that whatever you did was for the best of my future. But right now, I don't see you as being a HaTov HaMeitiv. And therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, that's why on those occasions we make a Dain HaEmes. On the other occasions, we make a HaTov HaMeitiv. Not because we don't believe that both of them are positive for us, but because our perspective and our perception of God is not the same on both of those occasions. So, therefore, Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is the reason why we find this difference that is drawn between Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, when we have to wait for the whole tzibur to start saying it in order for us to say it, whereas by the Saint Talamata the Vracha, every individual has the right to say it whenever they daven Ma'arav on December 4th, December 5th, because it's just adding another bakasha into the Shmona Esrei, which we all have a right to do. If one looks in Shulchan Aruch, there are another couple of differences between Mashiv HaRuach and the Saint Talamata, and one of those is that if a person forgets to ask the Saint Talamata Levracha and Baruch Aleinu, we're told you have a makeup during Shema Koleinu. You can always insert it there. However, if you forget Mashiv HaRuach, Shulchan Aruch says you have to repeat the entire Shmona Esrei. If you forget Mashiv HaRuach, your Shmona Esrei is invalid and you have to start all over. When we speak about forgetting an insertion in the Shmona Esrei, the Gemara says with regard to one who forgets Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh. Let's look at the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Taf Chavtes Amud Beis, number Dalet, where the Gemara says, Amar Rab Tanchum, Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Ta velo hiskir sha Rosh Chodesh ba'avoda. What if a person forgets Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh? The halacha is, Chozer la'avoda. You go back to Ritzei. What if you already finished Shmona Esrei? What's the halacha? If you finished Shmona Esrei and you realize that you didn't mention Yalav Yavo and it was Rosh Chodesh, the halacha is, Chozer LeRosh, you have to go back and repeat the Shemona Esrei, because Yalav Yavo is something that needs to be said on Rosh Chodesh, and this is what the Mechaber paskins in Siman Tav Chav Beis as well. If a person forgets Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, you have to go back and repeat the Shemona Esrei. However, that is only by which tefillah? Shachris and Mincha. What about if a person forgets Yalav Yavo by Ma'ariv? Halacha is you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei. Why not? It's also Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says because a mekadshin as a chodesh balayla, since they would never be mekadish the chodesh at night, therefore it's like a quasi Rosh Chodesh right now, and therefore if you forget the Yalav Yavo, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei at night. During the morning tefillos you do, because they would always accept the Edom in the morning. So today is bona fide Rosh Chodesh once it comes to the morning tefillah, but at night, says the Gemara, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei. So the Rif wonders, well, how far do you take that, asks the Rif in Maseches Brachos. When you have Rosh Chodesh and you forget at night to say Yalav Yavo, what about on a regular Friday night or a regular Yom Tov night? I forget to say Yalav Yavo my Shemona Esrei, or I forget to daven the Shabbos Dikah Shemona Esrei on a Friday night, says the Rif, would you say that the same rule would apply? What would you think? No. Why should it apply? Not the same at all. So the Rif says, why would it be the same? When it comes to Shabbos, it's definitely Shabbos tonight. The whole reason why you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei by Rosh Chodesh at night is because a mekadshin as a chodesh balayla. Because we're not mekadesh the chodesh tonight, so it's not really Rosh Chodesh yet. But when it comes to Friday night, you can't say it's not really Friday night yet. Therefore, says the Rif, of course you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. If you make a mistake Friday night or Yom Tov night, you have to repeat. Now, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah say, what about on Rosh Hashanah night? What if you made a mistake and you forgot Yalav Yavo on the night of Rosh Hashanah? By Ma'ariv, what would you say then? Well, Rosh Hashanah really is Rosh Chodesh. It's a Yom Tov, but it is Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, says the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe we should say that the same reason why on the night of Rosh Chodesh you don't have to repeat Yalav Yavo, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei if you forget Yalav Yavo, maybe on the night of Rosh Hashanah should be the same. It went so far that Rab Abeli Pasbeller, who's quoted in the Chayyadam, he was one of the Gaonim in Vilna, so he writes that, and the Chayyadam quotes his La'alecha. It's a very controversial psak of the Chayyadam. The Mishneh Berurah has a long, long discussion about it. Many Achronim have tried to figure out what this is all about. But Rab Abeli Pasbeller, quoted in the Chayyadam, said that if a person forgets HaMelech HaKadosh on Rosh Hashanah, you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. That we know. What if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh on Leil Rosh Hashanah? So he said, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei. Why? Because it's Leil Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, it's not really Rosh Hashanah yet, so you don't have to worry. So this is taking it a little too far. This is the discussion that they have, and that is something that's a very controversial psak of Rabbi Abeli Pasveller. But what is even more troubling is that the Stechemed writes that there were those Achronim who understood the Magen Avram to mean the following. The Magen Avram says, if a person on December 4th at night forgets to say V'sein Talamater when you're supposed to, Magen Avram says, if you forget it at Ma'ariv, you have to say it over. Okay, it makes sense, because V'sein Talamater is something that we have to say at this time of year. So says the Stechemen, no, there were some Achronim who said, no, that's only the rest of the nights of the season. But the first night, December 4th, when you start to say it, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei if you forget V'sein Talamater. Why? The same way by HaMelech HaKadosh, which that in and of itself doesn't really make any sense, and the same way by the Rif and Rabbeinu Yonah have the discussion by Leil Yom Tov, maybe you shouldn't have to repeat Shemona Esrei if you forget Ritzei Yalav Yavo. So they want to say the same should be by the same Talamata, the first night when you have to start saying the same Talamata, the Bracha. If you forget it, maybe you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei. It sounds a little bit wild, it's a little bit of a stretch, but the truth is, Trumas Hadeshen, who the Ramah bases all of his psakim on pretty much, Trumas Hadeshen, one of the Talmidim writes, the Leket Yosher writes, that his Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshen, was once davening, and he realized that his Rebbe had forgotten the same Talamata, and it was the night of December 4th, and the Trumas Hadeshen said, no need to repeat. So the Leket Yosher seems to be telling us a story about the great Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshen, that maybe it seems that their understanding of the Magen Avraham is correct. So that's a little bit problematic. What do you do with that story of the Trumas Hadeshen? You know, my father always says, everybody gets so caught up with what do you do when you make a mistake in Shemona Esrei, you forget this, you forget that. He said, I don't get the question. Why aren't people looking in a sitter? How do you make a mistake? So I told him once, even the Trumas Hadeshen made a mistake. All right, you know, give us a break. He also forgot the Saint Talamater, and we also forget Alanisim once in a while, and we forget Yalav Yavo. It's not so problematic. if you're my father, and I don't know, you know, the Trumas Hadashim can make a mistake, we can also forgive ourselves for making a mistake once in a while.
I mean, it seems so far-fetched. The question is, how do we get there again? Like, the Yalla and the Yalla component based on the Kurdish map.
Right.
So we just...
It, like, spiraled totally out of control. It's like a big snowball. It went totally off.
Right. I mean, what's the other side?
How does it even make sense?
Yeah.
I looked up the Stechemet today. I didn't know this until today. I was looking up the Stechemet to see what does he have about Talamutter. He has something interesting about everything. So I see the only entry in the Mafteach of the Stechemet that he has on the same Talamutter is this issue that he discusses, that the Birkei Yosef quotes some Achronim that say this, and the Stechemet says that he doesn't really understand how it makes sense. And when you think about it, where it started by Rosh Chodesh Yalav Yalva by Mayriv, which makes a lot of sense because A, Mekachin HaSachodesh Balayla. Then the Rif and Rabbeinu Yonah want to take it a little further and they say, maybe you should say by Friday night and Yom Tov night. But then they say, no, that really doesn't make sense because we know for sure that it's Yom Tov, we know for sure that it's Shabbos. So therefore, if you forget, we'd say Yalav Yalav, you have to repeat. Then they say, well, maybe Rosh Hashanah night should be the same as Rosh Chodesh. Okay, that I hear, maybe. Then the Chayyadim takes it 10 steps further and he says, oh, once you're going to say by Rosh Hashanah, maybe we should say also that if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh on Leil Rosh Hashanah, you should forget about repeating Shemona Esrei. And now, all of a sudden, here comes the kicker. If you forget the same Talamata December 4th, then maybe we should say that you leave it as is and you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei. That's a tremendous chiddush. There were some who wanted to say maybe the story with the Trumas Hadeshan really meant that there's a discussion that the Achronim have, do you need 60 days, me'es la'es, to the minute from when the Tekufa actually started. So maybe that's what happened. The Trumas Hadeshan forgot it. And then he said to himself, well, if you do the calculation, I would never know how to make the calculation because I have no idea when the Tekufa actually is. But the Trumas Hadeshan certainly knew when it was. And therefore the Trumas Hadeshan said, well, why would I repeat Shemona Esrei if some of the Achronim say you're not even supposed to start saying Talamutter until exactly the time when it's supposed to begin? So maybe that was the interpretation of the story with the Trumas Hadeshan, and it has nothing to do with this whole chiddush that the Stechemet quotes from the Birkei Yosef.
What they just relied on, which doesn't really apply, the Mishus
aspect of Mayriv. Of
Mayriv? Yes.
Right, so the Magen Avraham says not so. Magen Avraham says, even though Mayriv is a Rishus, still says the Magen Avraham, you have to repeat Shemona Esrei if you forget the same Talamata by Mayriv. Yeah? Okay. That what? Right. Right. So that the Rishonim already rejected.
The Rishonim rejected that.
Yeah. The Rif in Bracha says maybe we should say Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Okay,
and the Rif says it's not the same. Yeah. So now we continue with the major issue that comes up at this time of year, and that is in this interim period, when they've already started to say the same Talamata in Eretz Yisrael, but in America and in Chutz La'aretz we haven't yet started to say the same Talamata. What do we do then? So the Mishneh Berurah has a discussion, but it's not a complete discussion. It doesn't mention our case. Look at the Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah says the following. Simen Kuf Yud Zayin in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tefillah. He writes as follows. Ben Eretz Yisrael b'chutz laretz. What if you have a Jew from Eretz Yisrael whose whole family lives in Eretz Yisrael, but now he finds himself, for whatever reason, living in chutz laretz? O lehepach. You have a Jew from America who is now living in Eretz Yisrael. If you plan within the year. Now, listen carefully what he says. He doesn't say if you plan to come back before the time that they're going to switch. That's not what he says. That's the case that we're bothered with. He says if you plan within the next 12 months to return back to your original place, then he says, Shoel Kimakomo. Then you go based on the original hometown where your family lives, and you disregard what's going on around you. So if you're someone from Eretz Yisrael who finds himself in America, you should start saying the same Talamater whenever they start in Eretz Yisrael. If you're an American who finds himself in Eretz Yisrael and you plan to come back at some point, says the Mishneh Berurah, you should say it only when the Americans start to say it, and disregard whatever is going on in Eretz Yisrael. Vim Daito Achar Shana. What if you plan to be there for 12 months? Then he says, Shoa Kamakam Shusham. Then you take on the minhag of the place where you are then. That's what he writes. And he has a little bit of a discussion about this, but the problem is that this is not sufficient because it does not address our question. What about a Jew like us who goes to Eretz Yisrael for a week? and you're going to be in and out before we even start to say it in America. It's not that in the next 12 months it's going to change. You go to Eretz Yisrael over there, they've already started a Saint Talmud Mutter, but then you come back here, and we haven't yet started it. That's the last 2 months. So I guess it was very unusual in those days for people to be traveling back and forth so quickly like we do today. So Mishnah Berurah didn't even think of saying the case. But today, when we do have people who travel back and forth very easily and very freely, so what would the halacha be? What would you say in a case like that? That is the problem. Mishnah Berurah does not discuss it. When I asked my father this question, my father told me that he thought what should be done is the following. And he said this was a suggestion of the stipler. I don't know where the stipler writes it. I don't have all the svarim where they quote the psukim of the stipler, but he said he saw it once in the name of the stipler. What I did see at home was that in the Sefer of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he writes the same suggestion, and that is, a Jew from America who goes to Eretz Yisrael and plans to come back within this time should just go along saying the same Talamat Levracha in Shema Koleinu. In Shema Koleinu. Because said Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, then you can't lose either way. Reb Shlomo Zalman said, "B'di'evet, if you say the same Talmud Mutter in Shema Koleinu, you yotzei Shmona Esrei anyway." That goes for anybody who's supposed to say the same Talmud Mutter. So therefore, he said, "You're going to catch it on both ends. You should continue to daven like the Jews who are davening in America, but you should add in the same Talmud Mutter Levracha in Shema Koleinu." Not only that, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach adds, and he says there were those who wanted to qualify the statement that you're going to add into Shema Koleinu, and they said you should say the following. In Shema Koleinu, when you're that Jew from America who goes to Eretz Yisrael and now you're going to add it in Shema Koleinu, he said, there were those who suggested that you should be more specific and you should say, V'sein tal umatu levracha be'eretz Yisrael v'mkomos hatzrichim lekach. Whoa. Said Reb Shlomo Zalman, that would make more sense. Because you're acknowledging the fact that I'm an American, and right now I am not supposed to be saying the same Talmud Mutter, but I find myself in Eretz Yisrael, so I'm davening on behalf of those who need the rain, so I say the same Talmud Mutter Levracha for all those who need it. But for me, who doesn't yet need it, because the season has not yet started for me, it's not yet the December 4th date, so therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, there were those who said you should do this. Now, when I was in Eretz Yisrael last year, there was a issue that was confronted by this psak. My father told us all that we should say the same Talmud Mutter in Shema Koleinu. Problem was, there was one of the people in our group who was visiting from America, who was planning to come back here also a week later, but he was a chiyuv, he was an avil, and he wanted to daven for the yamud. So his problem was, if I'm going to daven for the yamud and I'm going to say the same Talmud Mutter because we're in Eretz Yisrael, so what am I supposed to do now? So my quiet Shmona Esrei, I should say one thing, I should say it in Shema Koleinu, and then in my Chazaras HaShatz, I should say something else. So that was a question that he raised. And I found that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach deals with this issue as well. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that he finds nothing wrong with a person in the Quiet Shmona Esrei saying V'sein Talmud Mutter Levracha in Shema Koleinu, and when they come to the Chazaras HaShatz, they're going to say something totally different. This is a very problematic psak. It's a very questionable psak for the following reason. You have to first understand what the background of Chazaras HaShatz is all about. So the story goes as follows. Chazal instituted that you have to say Chazaras HaShatz every day by Shachris and by Mincha. And the question is, why was that instituted? So the Gemara seems to say the reason why is because Lahotzi es Misha Eino Baki. There are people who don't know how to say the words. There are many people who are illiterate. And therefore the Gemara says, we did a favor for those who don't really know how to say the words, and therefore we instituted this idea of Chazaras HaShatz. So the Rambam was sent the following question. The Rambam was asked, what do we do in our communities? I don't know where they were writing from, but in such a shul, where every member of the shul knows exactly how to say the words, they asked the Rambam, isn't that a bracha she'ena tzricha? How are we allowed to do Chazaras HaShatz if we know that not a single person in the room is actually going to be helped by our Chazaras HaShatz? And if you're going to say the Chazan's doing it for himself, what do you mean? The Chazan already davened Shmona Esrei. He davened the quiet Shmona Esrei. So what does he need this for? So they asked the Rambam what to do. And the Rambam said he thinks once the Chachamim were Mesakin, they have to say Chazaras HaShatz. It means you have to say it unconditionally. It doesn't matter whether people in your shul know the words, whether people in the shul don't know the words. You have to always say Chazaras HaShatz regardless. And therefore, he said, don't we find in many other places that we have a similar idea? For example, he said, the Rishonim tell us, based on a Gemara Meseches Pesachim, that we have this institution of saying Kiddush in shul on Friday night. What was the whole reason why they said Kiddush and Shul on Friday night? Because they used to have many guests who came to Shul who didn't have a meal, and they would sit down in the back of the shul and have a meal. So we made kiddush in order to lehotzi es ha'arachim. Those stragglers who showed up in our shul got stuck on the road, so we make kiddush for them, we do them a favor. Says the Rambam, what about those shuls today that have no stragglers? And anybody who is a guest is going to eat at someone's house, so why are we saying kiddush? Why do we do it? And yet, the minhag is in most shuls that we continue to say kiddush. So the Rambam says, you see that when the Chachamim make a takana, even if the reason for the takana no longer applies to your specific community, we will continue to observe that halacha as well in those generations. Another example he gives is, for, let's say you have a situation where, on Friday night, again, we know that they were misakin, that you're supposed to say a quasi-chazaras hashatz on Friday night. Why do they do that? So the Gemara says, Mepnei hama'achrim lava, there are people who come late to shul, and then davening is short on Friday night, and if they're going to come late to shul, then everyone's going to leave before they're finished, and then it's going to be dangerous for them to walk home by themselves. So the Gemara says, we instituted this idea of a quasi-chazaras hashatz on Friday night. So what about a situation where nobody's afraid to walk home? What if we live in a gated community, there's nothing that can happen, and nobody's afraid to go home by themselves, or nobody comes late? Maybe we shouldn't say bracha achas mein sheva. Maybe we shouldn't say that on Friday night. The answer, says the Rambam, is we say it anyway, because the Chacham were misakin it, and therefore we continue to do as they instituted. And therefore, says the Rambam, the same would be over here. Does it make sense, as the Rambam, that in every shul that you visit, you're going to start counting and looking around the room? Well, does everybody know how to say the words in this room? Well, if everybody knows the words in this minyan, then we're not going to say Chazaras HaShatz. Then you come to the next minyan and it turns out, oh, there's somebody in the room who's a Baal Tshuva who might not know the Shemona Esrei words as well as everybody else. You know what? In this minyan we're going to do Chazaras HaShatz. Says the Rambam, what kind of religion is that going to be? What kind of world are we going to have? That every minyan is going to start looking around and figuring out who knows how to daven and who doesn't? So he says, we have to have one uniform sock, and that is, everybody does Chazaras HaShatz. However, the question is, why is it that we still do Chazaras HaShatz? So the Rambam said, because that is the takana. But why is it, says the Gemara, that we do a quiet Shemona Esrei? If we're doing a Chazaras HaShatz, which is able to be motzi everybody, then why do we still need to do the quiet Shemona Esrei, asked the Gemara. I understand, the Rambam says, even in a generation where everybody knows how to say the words, you still have to do Chazaras HaShatz. So, why don't we save time by leaving out the quiet Shemona Esrei, and the Chazim will just do the Chazaras HaShatz, and that will be good enough. So the Gemara discusses this, and the Gemara says the reason why is because the Chazan needs the quiet Shemona Esrei as an opportunity, l'sader tfilaso. The Chazan is going to be nervous. He wants to make sure he knows how to say the words out loud, Chazaras HaShatz. And therefore, he said, it would make sense, says the Gemara, that he has to first say the quiet Shemona Esrei in order to get himself used to everything that he's about to say out loud. I always find it interesting. When people daven a quiet Shemona Esrei, somehow they daven in a minute and a half. When it comes to them being the Chazan, they can't get the words out. So I always wonder, what happens? How did that change? How did they say the words so quickly when they were davening quietly to themselves? And all of a sudden, when they have to say the words out loud, they can't figure out how to say the words. How is that? I don't know. You figure it out. But the Gemara says that the Chazan is nervous. When he has to do the Chazaras HaShatz, he knows people are listening to him. I better make sure I know what I'm saying. So therefore, that's why the Chazan first has to do a quiet Shemona Esrei l'sader tfilaso. It's a practice run. And then he's going to go ahead and do the Chazaras HaShatz. Well, says Ramosh, if that's the case, it wouldn't make sense if, let's say, I daven Nusach Svard, and now I'm davening for the Yamid in a place that davens Nusach Ashkenaz, or in the other direction it works the same way. Says Ramosh, would it make sense that in my quiet Shemona Esrei I should say Nusach Svard, and then for the Chazaras HaShatz I'm going to do Nusach Ashkenaz? That's not going to help me. If the whole point of the quiet Shemona Esrei is that the Chazan should prepare himself in order that he should be ready to properly say the words of the Chazaras HaShatz, well, that's not going to happen if you daven a different Nusach. And therefore, says Ramosha, if you are the Chazan, you have to make sure to daven the same Nusach for the quiet Shemona Esrei as you're going to say for the Shemona Esrei out loud as well. Now, what about when it comes to this halacha? Well, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, when it comes to v'sein talamata levracha, and you're following my advice, which is that you should say it in Shema Kolenu, or if you're one of those Jews who's from Chutz Laaretz, who's visiting Eretz Yisrael, but who plans to come back, well, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, what if you're an Avil, and you have to daven for the Yamud, and now you're concerned because in your quiet Shemona Esrei, you're going to say v'sein talamata in Shema Kolenu. In your Shemona Esrei out loud, you're going to say v'sein talamata in Baruch Aleinu, like everybody in Eretz Yisrael. So what do? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm not concerned about that. When do we say that there's a problem? That's only when you're davening Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Svar. That's very confusing. That's very complicated. But to add in one bakasha in the middle of Shemona Esrei, it's really going to throw a person off? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't think it's a problem. which is a very big chiddush. I think it's a very big chiddush, and it's something to think about. Whether or not everybody would agree to such a thing, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not entirely clear on that. But Rav Shlomo Zalman does write that in his opinion, he feels that that would be the appropriate thing to do. And even if a person is an Avel, it should not hold them back from davening for the Amid, even though they might be doing something a little bit differently in the quiet Shemona Esrei than they are in the Shemona Esrei that they're going to say out loud. That, said Rav Shlomo Zalman, is not a significant enough of a difference to say that that person should be disqualified from davening for the Amud. It's just one insertion, the same Talamata that you're saying in Shema Koleinu or in Baruch Aleinu, he says, that's not going to pose a problem, and the person should be allowed and encouraged to daven for the Amud regardless. So, that is the basic story, that is the basic psak that Rav Shlomo Zalman gives, that's what my father followed as well, and that's the halacha with regard to those of us who are following, who are going to Eretz Yisrael, but who plan to come back before the Zman of the Saint Talamata begins here in Chutz Laaretz.